be with us here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ today. Members from the Fifth Ward congregation came up to me during the time that we were breaking and speaking, and they wanted to make sure that I knew that Fifth Ward was in the house. Amen. That's another great church. God has blessed the Fifth Ward Church, and I had the privilege of being with them. Let's look at our theme. An unshakable faith rooted in an unmovable God. First quarter, we sought to strengthen our roots by going deeper into our faith, building the roots of our faith. The second quarter, the idea of sowing our faith, seeing that it was necessary for our faith to go to the next generation and generations following. The third quarter, we considered the cultivation of faith as it produces divine unity. And that was also a very, very good quarter as we focused on divine unity. This quarter is the celebration of faith, the victory of faith. And nowhere in the Bible is the victory of faith seen more evident than in the book of Revelation. And so we selected the book of Revelation to focus our lessons around this idea of victory in faith. I know it's a lot to pull us into moments of depression and that's too extreme, but not feeling very optimistic about life. But if you're a Christian and you know the whole story, there ought to be more moments of celebration in the midst of all that happens in our lives. This morning, I want you to study with me Revelation chapter 1. I want to begin at verse number 9. And I want to read through verse number 19. I, John, both your brother and companion, in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last. And what you see, write in a book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice, as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. I want you to study with me from this subject, the victorious Christ of the Revelation. The victorious Christ of the Revelation. Anytime you pick up a book to read it, and this is your first time being introduced to the book, one of the first things that I do is that I read and learn about the author. The author is so important to the message of the book. Does he have the background and the credentials to even speak to what he is writing? Here Jesus, who is the author of the Revelation, says that before I give you the message, let me give you some information about the author. And so while John, at this time, is in a period of testing and trial, having been banished to the lonely isle of rocky Patmos, he is in need of great assurance, and he needs a revelation. During this time, the entire church is under severe persecution. Not just John. The whole church is under persecution by the Roman Empire. Many have been put in prison. Some have even given their very lives because of the gospel. Not just John needs a revelation, the church needs a revelation. May I hasten to say, in this 21st century, the church once again is being threatened with humanistic ideologies, unabashed, emboldened immorality, rampant and rabid apostasy. If ever there was a need for a word from the Lord, we need it. We need a revelation. We need the revelation. When I think in terms of this particular passage of Scripture, John says that I heard a voice behind me, and I turned to see who it was that spoke to me. And what he saw was not the Jesus that he saw while in his ministry. He did not see a lowly prophet coming out of Nazareth and walking the dusty streets of Jerusalem. He saw a vision of the victorious Christ. The book of Revelation is written in what is called apocalyptic literature, which means that it is what even John says, Jesus says, it is signified, which means that he paints pictures. And so what he saw of Jesus, his hair white like wool, his eyes like a flame of fire, clothed with a long garment down to his feet, a golden band around his waist, and seeing his feet looking as though they were burned in a furnace and looking like brass. And then a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. That's a picture. But the picture is the picture of victory. The picture is one of the risen Christ, the one who now has all authority, and the one who is the author of this book. So you see him in honor, and you see him in majesty as he stands and he puts his hand on John. But he paints another picture, and he says that you need to know where I saw him standing. Saw him standing in the midst of the seven churches of Asia. He wasn't just standing anywhere. He was in the midst of the church of Christ. When you think in terms of our lesson, I want you to understand that it's all about how you view Jesus. And if you have a good view of him and a good knowledge of him, you can have victory and you can celebrate in the midst of whatever you're going through. You'll be able to shout hallelujah. You know, I don't see a lot of celebration and a lot of victory like we ought to. You know, somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, what does victory look like? Well, did you watch the L.A. Dodgers win over the Milwaukee Brewers on last evening? Now, except for the champagne and all of that, that was victory. And I just believe that when you and I see what he says, and I just want to show you there are at least six things that Jesus says about himself, that if I can help you to imbibe these things and see these things and hold on to these things, that you'll be able to celebrate more of the victory that we have through our faith in Christ. The first thing he said to John when he put his right hand on him, fear not. But who is this Jesus? This Jesus is someone who comes to you and he says to you, fear not. The question is, why is he saying to John, fear not? When you're going through tribulation, and you're going through persecution, and your fellow brothers and sisters are being put in prison and they're dying and you're banished on the Isle of Patmos, why are you saying to me, fear not? Fear not because you have seen me, John. Fear not, John, because of why I'm coming to you. This is what I'm calling my purpose, or the purpose of Jesus coming. In your notes, I want you to put here when he says, fear not, this is the purpose of his coming. He's coming to us to tell us to fear not. When you think in terms of fearing not, it's so much I could say about fear, but I'm going to just make this point. Fear is healthy because it's an emotion that God gave us. But when fear goes awry and you're paralyzed by fear, fear becomes your enemy. It makes you paranoid and it makes you start looking at people funny and thinking that this is happening and that's happening and it ain't really happening. So you got to be careful about fear, because fear going awry will cause a lot of problem. And when you get in the midst of a situation that's causing pressure, Jesus says, get your fear under control. Fear not. Do you realize that fear not from God, is found 365 times throughout the Bible? Wonder why 365 times in the Bible? Well, it's 365 days in a year. And all I hear Jesus saying is that every day of your life, fear not. Fear not. I believe that he is looking at, when he tells John to fear not, that he is hoping that John knows his Bible and that John has a good grasp of the Old Testament. Because this idea of fear not is so prevalent throughout Isaiah's great prophecy. Go with me to Isaiah 41:10, and I just want to read this to you, and I just want to carry you through a few of them, and then I'm going to have to move. But it's a sermon all in itself. If you are a person who is being victimized by the emotion of fear, please listen to what God is saying to his people, what Jesus is saying to John. Fear, I'm in Isaiah 41:10. This is God speaking to Israel. And Israel is going into Babylonian captivity, but this is what he wants them to understand. Fear thou not, for I am what? Be not dismayed, for I am what? I will what? Yea, I will what? Yea, I will what? With the what? Of my what? Watch Isaiah 43:1-2. Hurry, go there with me. Isaiah 43:1-2. Here's another fear not. He says, fear not, for I have what? Oh, I'm too fast. All right. All right. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have what? Called thee by what? Thou art what? When thou what? Passest through the what? Waters. I will be what? Through the what? They shall not over what? When thou walkest through the what? Thou shalt not be what? Neither shall the flame kindle upon what? Thee. Now let's come to a New Testament passage. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, for God had not given us the spirit of what? But of what? And of what? And of a what? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy, I am being persecuted because of the word of God. You're going to be persecuted, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou a what? Partaker. A lot of us don't want the tribulation. A lot of us don't want the persecution. A lot of us don't want the pressure. But it comes with the territory. It comes with what God has called us to. And you and I in the church today cannot escape it. But he's saying, be not afraid when you're in the midst of it. And then he says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. When you recognize that where I am is not because of my purpose, it's because of God's purpose. If I had not accepted Christ and decided to be a Christian and handle things the way that God has asked me to handle them, I wouldn't be where I am. But I am not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to get out of my comfort of knowing the relationship that I have with God to try something different. I'm going to stay where God has put me. And God says, Jesus says, be not afraid. Fear not. This is the next thing that he said. He said, I am the first and I am the last. In your notes, I want you to put the perfection of Christ. When you are in the midst of, you need to know that Jesus Christ comes to us Not only with a purpose for your good and for carrying you through persecution. I'm not trying to get rid of the mountain. I'm not trying to get it, but I'm going to give you the power to climb it. I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to allow you to go through it. But then he also wants us to know and wants John to know that I'm the first and I'm the last. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8, he said, I am Alpha. In verse number 8, he said, I am Alpha and I'm Omega. Watch this. I am the beginning and I'm the ending, said the Lord. Watch this. Which is, which was, which is to come. And then he summed it up and said, what? The Almighty. You and I need to know that victory comes because of who Jesus is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. Jesus is the cause of human history. He is the one who started it, and he's the one who will end it. So what are you trying to tell John when you say that I'm the first and I'm the last? Human history is under my control. Rome doesn't have power over you. I've got it. Do you realize how the world even got started? Oh, I tell you, if you just know who it is that's talking to you, he said, I'm the first and I'm the last. And then he says, I'm almighty. I'm all powerful. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15. And I want to show you what Paul says about him. And I just want you to get a picture of who this Christ is. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15, he says, who is the image of the what? The invisible God. The firstborn, and that's talking about rank, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were what? All things what? Created and are in what? Heaven that are where? Now watch where he says. He said that he is the creator of all things in heaven and on earth. Watch this. Visible and what? Invisible. Whether they be what? Thrones, whether they be what? Dominions, principalities, powers, all things what? Were created what? Watch this. All things were created what? By him and what? For him. See. You got to know who your Jesus is. Oh, I wish I could stop and just preach. Watch this, and he is the what? Watch this, the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. Why is John even banished on the Isle of Patmos? Because he's in the church. Because of the word of God and because of the testimony of our Lord. I don't know what you think about the church and how you feel about the church, but let me tell you something. If I'm going to go through some trials and some persecution, let me go through it in the church. No, you didn't hear what I just said. If I'm going to go through trials and tribulations, I've got to go through it in the church. I don't want to be out of the church when trials come. Amen. No, when the storm come, I want to be in the boat. Oh, Lord have mercy. Please help me, Jesus. Y'all trying to make the church, well, the church is not all that important. And I'll go when I want to go. Some of you come this Sunday and you won't be back next Sunday. And may not see you again until 3 months later. And Y'all don't know what you're doing. They say, well, you haven't been here either, but I've been in somebody's church. And I hear you talking back. Well, I ain't been here, but I've been in somebody's church too. Don't stay at home. That's all I'm saying. No. Don't stay at home. Don't go to the golf course. Shame on you. You put a golf course before the Lord's church. Don't you know the church is where you got to go through the trials? It's in the church that he is the head of it. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The perfection of Christ. It's because you know who he is. Number three, watch what he says. He says, I am he that liveth. Now here's what I want you to put in your notes. Not only does he come telling John the purpose of his being there, the perfection that he brings to it, but he also lets John know that I got a presence. I am is a phrase which means I'm alive, I'm in a place of being. I am he that liveth. Put in your notes, the victorious Jesus is a Christ of presence. I know you say, well, brother, what does that got to do with it? No, no, no. When you're going through something, you got to know who's with you. Acts 9. 4-6, the Bible says, let me go to Acts 18:9, because I think this one speaks better to what I'm talking about. Paul was in Corinth, and he was having some problems in Corinth. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. This is the same Christ who was speaking to John in Patmos. And what did he say to? He says what to him in verse number 9? Be what? Be what? But speak. Hold not thy peace. For I am what? No man shall what? Set on thee to what? Hurt thee. For I have what? Much people. In this city. When you know who's writing this book has a purpose for you, I didn't come to condemn you. I'm not coming in judgment. I'm coming really to support you and to help you. John, you don't have to be prostrate and afraid. Come on, John. Put some strength in your bones and put some strength in your back. Stand up, John. I'm the one who's the first and the last, not you. I got things under control. John, what you need to know is that I'm with you. Watch Hebrews 13:5. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will what? Never what? Come on, I will what? Nor what? So that we may what kind of? May say how? That we may say it how? The Lord is my what? I will not fear what? What? Now I'm being honest. I have to work at getting here. But I'm glad I know where he is. We all have our moments. But when you know he's with you, can't no man hurt you. You know, I know all of what's happening to us, what's in the news and everything that's happening. I don't want to get specific, but I just want you to just Just run the tape. Go back and look at all of the things that's being said that's happening in our world today, in our city, among our people. What can anybody do to God's people? When has God ever not been in control? If it happened, God did not abdicate his power or his position. It happened because God allowed it to happen. But God is not handcuffed. No power is greater than God. There's a certain peace that ought to come over, child of God, because I know the Lord is with me. No, he's got it. You don't have to worry about the government. You don't have to worry about I'm getting too specific. You know, when you find out this stuff goes, this, you know what I'm talking about? It'll be in New York before I even finish. But I ain't scared. No. It's not because I'm afraid. Huh? It's not because I'm afraid. I'm just trying to be prudent about what I say. He says something else. Not only did he say, be not afraid. Not only did he say, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth. Then he came back and he said, I was dead. Watch this. Was dead. Was dead. Humans die. Gods don't die. So what is he? Why is he saying was dead? You know what he's doing? He's letting you know that I'm identifying and I can identify with you. No. I'm God. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. Run the reference. That's a term God uses. That's right, that's right. Only God can say, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega, the first and the last. But he said, I am he that liveth. I was dead, which means that he came down here. And suffered what we have suffered. Been where we have been. I identify with you. And don't tell me, well, I'm in prison and I'm this. Listen. I can identify. Go to Hebrews 4, verse number 2. Hebrews 4, verse number 2. And I want to look at verse number 17. When you know who this victorious Christ is, this is the passion of Christ. Put in your notes, the passion of Christ. You've got the purpose, the perfection, the presence. Now you got the passion of Christ, was dead, speaking of his humanity. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In the fact that he said, I was dead, not only is he identifying with your humanity, but he's identifying with your sin. No, you didn't hear what I just said. No. The question on the floor is, why did he die? He died for you. He died for me. Sin is taken care of. You say, well, Brother Gibbs, I'm going through trials and tribulations, and I'm going through it because I know I've sinned, and I know all of this. Wake up.
Do you think John was perfect? Do you think the church is perfect? No. You know, you can get to the point where you feel like, well, I'm going through this because I deserve it. Yeah, you do deserve it. Yeah, you really do. But I am he that was dead. I died for it. I paid the price for whatever you're going through, whatever you've done, all your sin, past, present, future. I died for them. Then you're going to be in the middle of your tribulation and your pressure, and you're going to say, well, let the devil tell you, well, see, you deserve it, and you got there because of this and that. You tell him it's a lie. The God, the Christ that I serve, has already died for my sin. I'm trying to show you how to be victorious. See, you can beat yourself up all day long about your sin. I know I could and can. But I ain't there. No, I'm not there. It's because I know who died for me. That's why I can shout on Sunday morning. I don't understand why we let the devil just run us down. He's a lie. Tell him he's a lie. You ain't gonna be saved. You're a lie. You can't go to heaven. You're a lie. He died for me. He that was dead. But now watch what he says. Behold, I am alive forevermore. I will not die again. I wish you spent time just really understanding and contrasting the sacrificial death of Christ versus the sacrificial death of animals, how that they had to go repeatedly for their sins to just be rolled forward. But the beauty of Jesus is that that one death took care of the sin of the world. He entered in once, as your high priest, with his blood that he shed on Calvary. He went to the Father and said, this is my blood for the new covenant, which was shed for the remission. Someone made a beautiful point the other night. You know, when cancer is in remission, you hear the doctor say, you had cancer, but it's in remission. That's good news. You go back 6 months, he says, still in remission. You go back 3 years, I don't see no sign of it. When Jesus died on the cross for the remission of our sin, you go in for a checkup, I don't see no sin. Six months from now, see no sin. I know my time is gone. I got one more. I had one more. He said, I got the keys to hell and the grave. I got the power to take every man out of the grave. The time is coming when every person in the grave will hear my voice and come forth. they that have done good unto the righteous, unto the resurrection of righteousness. They that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. If you know Jesus, he is your victory, because he is the victorious Christ. His power, his passion, his presence, his permanence, all of those I talked about. If you know whatever you're going through, if you know Jesus. Well, I preached long enough. But I'm going to tell you, we have no idea what we are going to face as the church. But it don't matter. I'm telling you, we are going to be tested far more than we will ever imagine as a church. And we don't have to blend in with the other folk. We don't have to become like everybody else. No, you can stand flat-footed, firm on who you are. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And I don't have to be a part of a denomination or be like the denomination. I am the Church of Christ. My Lord died for this church, gave his blood for it, bought it. It's his. Shame on me if I want to take his name out of it. No, his name stays on the marquee. This is the Church of Christ. When you say the Church of Christ, you're saying the Church of power, Church of permanence, Church of perfection, Church of his presence, Church of his purpose, Church of... All right, you've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water of grave. But that's how you become a member of the Church of Christ. The only church you'll read about in your Bible. Don't let the devil fool you, thinking that, oh, any church will do. No, 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 no. That is not the truth. You tell the devil you're a lie, and the Bible is right. I know that didn't sit well with some of you, but it's the truth. You search it. And you'll find out that Brother Gibbs is telling the absolute truth. Right. Stand on the truth, amen. And God will save you. If you're here and you've strayed away from God, won't you rededicate your life? Won't you come on back? Come on, stop being in and out. Some of you, you're here this Sunday. Oh, we don't see you next Sunday. Come on now. What you going to be doing? Make up in your mind, I'm going to be here every Sunday. Amen. Can I add one more? You're going to be here tonight. Why don't you come to Jesus? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need. Restore my heart, his weary. Dear Lord.